Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Today we have Andrew Bell, Chairman and CEO of Red Rock Resources, which is a natural resource exploration and development company. Hi Andrew, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
That's good to hear. You made an announcement to the market, an update on Kenya. Do you think you can give us a bit more detail about that news?
Sure, yes. The announcement was that we're starting a drilling program in Kenya. And that'll be the initial program by 2,000 meters, and it's following up in an area where we've already got a resource. We've got about 800,000 ounce resource there under JORC. It was 1.2 million ounces under the previous edition of JORC, but now we've got to have to look at things like the pit shell. The grade, the amount of overburden that have to be taken off. In other words, kind of a preliminary look at whether it makes market sense. It's economic. And on that basis, we've got a fairly coherent body of about 700,000-800,000 ounces. And we want to build on that by taking the high-grade intercepts and drilling between them and looking at extensions laterally, and then looking at mineralization at depth, because there are some big gaps in the old drilling, which mean that we didn't get full credit for what was potentially there. But that's because we'd only been there 2 years, spent $10 million from 2010, 2012, when politics and things got in the way and we had to go to court. And so from 2012 or so till now, there hasn't been any drilling.
Okay, so there was a JORC in place anyway, but you're confident that you think you can improve on that and enhance it?
Well, yes, because we produced the original JORC back in 2012-13, and now we've produced a JORC resource according to the new edition of the JORC code, which takes a much more robust view of whether something can be economic. And we know exactly where to go, and we've worked with consultants in saying where we should drill to get the maximum benefit. So we're taking the central area of that old resource, where everything's quite close together in terms of the sort of outline of a potential pit. And we've looked at the high-grade areas, infilling some of the high grades, infilling some other holes to get to establish continuity, looking along strike, and looking a bit at depth. And that'll be the first stage. We may do a bit more there. And then we look at the other sort of satellite deposits as well. And then we look at some other targets that we've identified through IP.
Okay. I mean, this isn't the best known area for gold. So what makes you think otherwise?
Well, of course, the Tanzanian Craton has been a very good area for gold, and it's got a number of mines which have been quite successful, and we are right up against that border, so we're an extension of the same Craton. And if you look at where we were back in 2010, everyone always said that our area was the best, most prospective area and so on. But the neighbouring areas to the east and to the north, and some way away to the north, another bit of greenstone. And if you look at them, well, the one to the north, which was Acacia, then Africa Barrick, then Barrick, is now in the hands of Shanta, who proved themselves quite competent in bringing things into production in Tanzania. Well, Shanta have got in a fairly short time, just a small part of their deposit, they've defined 1.2 million ounce resource at 12 grams a ton. And then to our east, Caracal are just getting listed. They have, I think, a 670,000 ounce resource at reasonable grade, and they're planning to do more drilling with a target to take it to 2 million ounces. And that's quite a small area they have. And then, we're a few kilometers north of the border parallel to it, a few 20 kilometers south of the border parallel to it is the North Mara mine, which is now in the hands of Barrick. And Barrick, since they went in there, took a new look at it 7 or 8 years ago. That mine looked as if it was on its last legs, grade going down, production going down and so on. But now it's producing 240,000 to 270,000 ounces a year, with a production cost of $740 to $790 an ounce, all in sustaining cost of less than $1,000. And having produced, I suppose, nearly 3 million ounces in its life since 2002, it's still got 5.5 million ounces of resource there, and you know they'll be drilling and trying to get more. So that's going to end up as a mine which will have produced something approaching 10 million ounces, I think, over its life, and looking quite decent grade. So that has been upgraded as a result of good exploration enormously in the last decade. Obviously, the Shanta ground to our north has been upgraded enormously. The ground to our east has been. And here we are with supposedly the best stuff around in Kenya, though that's to be proven. And we've clearly lagged behind because we haven't been able to do any exploration. So I can't see any reason why what we have would be inferior in principle to what could be discovered at a place like North Mara. The potential is there. The exploration hasn't been. So we are starting off with something around a million ounces. But of course, our target is to get a multi-million ounce deposit. And there's every reason for thinking that the chances are good there. The more exploration we do, the more we'll find. And, you know, we've been doing some IP and geophysics work as well, including in an area that hasn't previously really been explored. And we're getting really interesting results. So, we've taken the next step. Now, exploring, drilling out a multi-million ounce deposit is, of course, an expensive business, which is why it normally takes place stage by stage. But from where we are at around about a million ounces, just under, taking that up to a couple of million ounces plus is going to be a very important thing to do. And at that stage, we will, as we move towards that or show that it's possible, we will start to have a number of options about who we are going to perhaps cooperate with.
Okay, well, I think you've definitely given a few good reasons to back up your plan. And as you say, it's to be proven, but no blockers or red tape or anything in the way now, is there? It's all down to you.
No, we've been fairly cautious even after we got the licenses back, because so many people have tried to interfere with us there, because everyone's eyes were on it, particularly when the gold price went up, you know, dollar signs. So we got the permits one by one. They took a little bit of time and we were nervous, wondered if someone was trying to run interference or something. But we've got everything. System actually works. And now we can start drilling. We have the drill pads prepared. And I hope that this will be a rolling program that will continue and where we'll get really good results. We're going to get the first results as quickly as possible when we get those samples down to the lab and get the results back. We'll want to announce it because we hope that what we get from that will justify us in the eyes of the market and start to make an impression on, of course, the government, investors, other gold companies, and so on. So that's part of our PR, but it'll also be helping us make decisions about where the next stage of drilling takes place and what we're going to focus on. And it will also start to feed into a review of the JORC to get an upgrade.
Yeah, and I think we're all going to be looking forward to hearing from you what the results are in a few weeks, I think it is. Last question then, Andrew, is your thoughts on the share price?
Well, you know, I can understand we're in a bad market. And in a bad market, even the gold price has been going down quite a bit, as you may have noticed. In a bad market, you come out with news, you create liquidity, and people sell. So you get the perverse thing, which is however good your news is, your price can end up going down. And I've seen that sort of countless times over the years. And sometimes I joke that it's better to have no news at all when the market's poor. But I think in the end, you know, things will find their level. Since we're not planning any financing and we have plenty of money for what we need to do, it's not critical for us that the price should always be in the same place. It's better for us to do good exploration, come out with good results. We've got to obviously try to communicate our news and put presentations and things out there. But that's, here we are in August. It's been a long time since we spoke about Kenya. We're now in a position to start actively telling that story, promoting it, letting people know what the upside is, and that's what we're going to do. But shareholders more or less forgotten it. It was just a year ago that people were sort of writing it off. They never believed we'd get it back. And so there we are. You know, we have to get people familiar with an asset that they haven't really looked at, even if they've been long-term shareholders, for the best part of 10 years, and say, look, this is actually probably going to be our biggest story this year. And so there's a lot to play for. I don't blame the market, because the market's reaction is often, well, you say you've got this, prove it. It's up to us to prove it.
And I think that's exactly what you're trying to do. Andrew, it's been good talking to you. And like I said, hopefully hear from you not too long from now about the assay results.
Yes, we've got to get that done.
Thanks, Andrew.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.